Well, let's bring on our first guest, Lee, today. And I've got a lot to tell you. A
lot of stories to tell you. But let's bring on our first guest today. We have with us Liz Neperant. She's been on our show before. She is the co-author and author of many, many books. Fitness for Dummies, Weight Training for Dummies, Buns of Steel, Abs of Steel. You've probably seen her in the New York Daily News. I know I've seen her on iVillage. Her name is everywhere. I don't know why she doesn't use her real name, which is Liz Shaffron. Really should be.
Really?
Yeah, that should really be her real name. Really? And then she would be, and then everybody would go, "Oh my God, she's the wife of Dr. Fitness." That would really be the best way to handle that. Liz, welcome to the show.
You keep dreaming. Keep dreaming.
Liz, first of all, I didn't realize you were such an accomplished marathon and also ultra marathon runner. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, in all honesty, I haven't run any races since my daughter was born, but I still get out there every day. And in fact, I'm sweaty now because I'm an idiot running in this heat in New York City. And you know, I have been a dedicated, what I like to say, a pathological runner almost my entire life.
No kidding. Now, did you also compete and do ultras as well?
I did, yes.
What's the furthest you ever went?
The furthest I've run is 100 miles.
Okay. Now, when I met you in person, when Lee and I met you, we did not know you were that Meshuggah. But now that I know that, that is – tell me about that experience. What was that like to go – I mean, you know, when you run 26, that's enough to wipe you out. What do you do when you get into like 35-mile land and 50-mile land and go, you know what? I'm halfway there. I got another 50 to do. What did you do for that?
You know, you just have to really like to run in order to do these things. And, you know, I do. I like to run, and I consider it a meditation. And so in a lot of ways, I consider running faster much harder than running longer. And if you decide you're going to just go out and – have a day where you just are moving, and again, this moving meditation, it's really all about mental barriers and how you approach it in your mind just as much as in your body.
You see, I think of it the complete opposite. I think you have to be totally, you have to just have a huge ego and think, wow, I'm so interesting to myself. I can run for 100 miles and entertain myself with my brain.
And just keep myself occupied. Right. I don't need anybody else.
Exactly.
I hate to tell you how wrong. So here's what goes to your mind when you run 100 miles. It goes something like this.
Nothing? There's nothing there, right? There's absolutely it's just blank. It's a blank slate.
Yeah, it's just a flatlining, I call it. No. Flatline.
Liz, when you were running 100 miles, did you talk to any – were there people around like you were – like that you saw that you talked to? And did you use like an iPod or anything, or was this like
– No. In fact, I ran a couple of my longer races. The way they work is you are allowed a companionship for a certain amount of it. And I think for the 100, it's like you're allowed like at 56 miles or – I literally can't remember. It was a while ago. But for, let's say, the one I did in Central Park, which was 60K, which I think is around, I don't know, my math isn't so good, but let's say 32, 35 miles, you're allowed to have somebody come in on, like, the 20th mile and, take you in the rest of the way. My husband is always my handler, and the way I get through those last few miles is we just argue, like, like crazy. Like, I'm yelling at him because he didn't come in at the right time. He didn't bring me the water I wanted, you know. And we just, you know, yell at each other, and then we're done, and we forget about it. We go home.
It's amazing how time flies when you're mad and yelling at someone, isn't it?
That's... Oh, it's the best. You can just direct your energy, and 10 miles go by, and you're still yelling. You know, he's a long-suffering, good guy, I have to say. Well, he's a Shaffron, so...
That's right, he's a Shaffron. That's absolutely...
Right. Right.
Now we had on, not too long ago, we had on Dean Karnazes, and talk about Meshuggahs who like to run a lot.
Yeah. He's a serious guy. I just dabbled.
Well, listen, I don't know if I would call 100 miles dabbling. That's,
Dean is, he's a whole different species than, you know, I had a couple, like Ann Trason, I'm sure you've heard of her. She's one of the top, not just female ultras, but one of the top ultra women in the world. She's the real deal. She is, again, she's a different species. She never breaks down. I've had a wonderful opportunity to interview her numerous times. She's, you know, some kind of you know, mad scientist in real life, and those people just think different. And this is the truth. The reason I actually stopped is I one day woke up and I thought, I'm surrounded by crazy people, and all they do is run. I have to rethink my life, and I just didn't do it anymore.
And that was it. That was the last time.
But I love to run.
But you still love to run, right.
Yeah,
I understand.
I love to exercise. I love moving.
Let's talk about running and a couple things that affect running, and we know you are the guru, you're the expert, and we want to find out first of all information about running in the heat and also the trend in these new shoes that are out there, the minimalist shoes. We've talked about them on the show numerous times, but we definitely want to talk about since we're just starting July. A lot of people are out there running. And actually, there's been some new information about running in the heat in terms of not information about running in the heat, but devices that you can use that can keep you running in the heat longer that might actually be dangerous.
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes to running in the heat, you really have to pay attention, and you know, you have to be somewhat vigilant about taking care of yourself, because exercise is a healthy thing, but sometimes you can make it an unhealthy thing by doing things that maybe aren't so smart. So, for instance, I certainly try and get out before the big heat in the morning, or I wait and I try and go out after the sun has sort of calmed down. And I do see people, and it's always kind of interesting to me that, 12:01, the height of the sun in the sky, and they just, and maybe it's the only time they have, for those people, I might suggest on your real feel heat days that you might want to stay indoors and run on a treadmill, which I realize for a lot of people isn't as much fun as running outdoors. But, I've known some very fit people who have just collapsed in the heat.
Right.
It's funny, I'm just now doing a story on running in the heat where, of course, you need to hydrate, but, you can overhydrate, and overhydrating can be just as dangerous as underhydrating. And actually, you see every year one or two marathoners either drop or they die from this hyponatremia, which is when you just drink too much and you dilute your electrolytes, which are your body salts, so much that you basically cause a cardiac event. So,
right.
My feeling is I ignore all the rules, the 8 glasses or every 20 minutes this, and I drink when I'm thirsty, and I always make sure I have access to liquids. And you don't want to be running along and feel your tongue is parched, or you've stopped sweating, or any of the signs of heat injury.
Right.
And you do have to pay attention to that.
Well, apparently they have these ice cold strap on neck collars that allow you that are lined with a flexible artificial ice pack. And what they're finding is that people can, lowers the skin temperature. And what they're finding is that there seems to be the perception of a thermal strain, you don't seem to have the same effect. And they're finding that people can run longer and further in under a heat stress, which subsequently may cause a body, core temperatures to elevate much higher than they would, because the perception of the temperatures, you would stop before they got even too high. So, when I heard about these devices, I'm like, sounds great, but this sounds like a recipe for disaster for people that are trying to push themselves, especially in a sporting event. And if they're competing, especially you start seeing people that go out there in a Peachtree Road race, and all of a sudden they have these devices wrapped around their necks, and they're like, I've just knocked off 3 minutes off my, Peachtree Road race 10K.
And now I'm dead.
Well,
it's interesting. I did not know that, and that's interesting to me. But for years, I have taken a bandana, dipped it in water, frozen it, and put it in the freezer, and then worn it around my neck. The thing I will say about that is it melts relatively quickly.
Right.
And then you actually use it as a water source, which for some people is gross. But, I don't have a lot of standards when I'm running. So, and I always say what happens on the run stays on the run. So you could, make any sound, any snot can come out of your nose that you want. And
right.
You're not allowed to talk about it. So
now what about the wicking material, the fabric that people are wearing that are so high tech, and people are like, oh, I never wear cotton. I only wear this high-tech fabric. What's your, what's the optimal clothing to wear? The fat guy likes to run practically naked when he goes out for a run in the summertime, but and it's not a pretty sight.
That is, well, Well, you know, obviously the wicking materials are good. You know, I think these things come into play if you are doing more long-term exercise. So if you're out there for 20 minutes.
Not a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal. But if you're out and you're doing a one-hour or two-hour run, walk, hike, then I do think some of these materials can make a difference. And you know, I do have to say, particularly with the feet, because I would say the number one issue that comes to me are blisters and hot spots and things like that.
Right.
So, you know, the stuff under the arms, you know, the waistband injuries and things like that, which, you know, might seem trivial, but they could also stop you
from running.
They're actually quite painful.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I am, like, quite fanatical about, you know, if I'm doing an hour long run or longer, you know, it might take me 10 minutes just to get my feet ready and to goop up the various areas.
Right.
Because
And they have that this stuff called, I guess, Body Glide that you put on areas where there's any friction that, you know.
Yeah, I use lanacane, which is similar. I just like the smell and the feel of it better, but the Body Glide is great. It's good stuff. I actually like those products actually better than the like a Vaseline or a petroleum jelly, because they get they're not as goopy and sticky and so forth, and they kind of tend to stay where they're supposed to.
The fat guy, I think, uses Crisco, right, Lee? Is that what
is
you
that
Crisco
wrong?
Is what you put on yourself when
I
you're
prefer
going out?
Canola oil.
Canola oil?
Yeah. Okay, so,
a healthy
here.
Oil. So olive oil.
He's running practically naked in bathed in oil.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like running to me. It sounds like maybe he should be talking to Vivid or, you know, one of those other. Not sound like exercise to me.
Well, it's a great way to meet people, I find.
Yeah, certain people, yeah.
Certain people, it's easy to meet people, absolutely.
Certain class of people,
that's
yeah.
Right, Liz.
The space shuttle can see me when they circle.
Well,
I'm very reflective.
Than I am.
That's
very
right.
Reflective.
Yeah, I'm kind of a crabby runner, so leave me alone. So I'm going to stay away from the crabby.
Right, don't talk to me.
Look, but I'm not chafing. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
I don't have a chafing problem.
Yeah, I think your problems aren't chafing. You're right.
That's right. Now, Liz, let's get into this minimalist shoe craze that's hit our country, and all of a sudden it's changed the way that people are now buying shoes. I'm in the gym, and I see a guy wearing the Vibram Five Fingers, and I'm just waiting for a 45-pound weight to fall on his foot and go, I'm not going to be doing this again.
The steel-toe Vibram Fingers?
Yeah, they don't make those yet. So,
yeah, and they weren't made for that purpose either. So, you know, I have a couple pair. I've done extensive amount of wear testing with both myself and, you know, at one point I did something where I had about 30 runners in various type of minimalist shoes. I myself am not a fan of the Vibrams, and mainly because, and I'm now, Doc, you're going to get it from me.
Yes.
You're going to get my secret. I have the most disgusting feet in the history of feet. And I literally cannot sort my toes into those toe pockets, so I give up on the Vibrams. It's just not worth my time to try and get my hammer toes straightened out to put into those.
To put into those shoes.
So you need like a mitten, maybe a mitten.
Yeah, right. Well, having said that, I am a minimalist fan. I don't think they're for everyone, but that's all I run in now. That's the only thing I run in are minimal
now,
shoes.
Now, Liz, when you say you're a fan, now, because there's a lot of I just recently read an article about how, you know, people have gone to these shoes, and also the book called Born to Run.
Great book.
I don't know if you went running in Mexico, if that's what caused you to start getting to these shoes. But apparently, the minimal shoes aren't for everyone. And apparently,
oh, they're absolutely not.
And apparently, how you start getting into these shoes is a big factor in if, in fact, you can tolerate that. Because I think a lot of people just cold turkey and go from their, you know, their running shoes into minimal shoes, and I think that's a huge step to make, and they wind up getting even more injuries than before.
Yes, and that's true. I mean, in all fairness, I have never run in heavy shoes. Before the minimalist craze, I ran in racing flats.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, I had a couple races where I just went and bought the cheap, you know, those Chinese black sandals and just ran in those.
No kidding.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm a lazy person at heart. For all the exercise I do not like to pick up my feet, because if it's heavy, it's just troublesome to me. And so I have never, ever run in a heavy shoe. So the minimalist shoes for me are just like, okay, now there's a category they've made, you know, to suit me. But, you know, I'm a light runner. I'm a runner who rarely gets injured. I mean, in my whole career, you know, I've maybe had one serious injury that kept me off the road for 3 days. I'm just structurally, you know, have a soundness that not a lot of people have. And I've been running in light shoes for a long time, so the translation for me was zero.
Very small.
But for the average person who has maybe been running in the structured shoe for many years, maybe has some knee issues and that keep cropping up, and then just pop into them and run 10 miles, you kind of are asking for trouble. So, you know, what I say is if you want to try them, they could work for you. But you go, you run 10 minutes, you go back, you get your old shoes on, you finish your run. And you do that for a couple weeks, and then you gradually build up.
Right.
And, you know, and I do recommend you do some foot strengthening exercises as well to prepare yourself, you know, for your feet to be sort of working for themselves for perhaps the first time in your since you were a toddler. So, you know, you do have to proceed with caution. I'd say if you're a very heavy runner or somebody who's just perpetually injured, probably not going to work for you.
Right. Well, that was Christopher McDougall. I think his premise of get running was that he was constantly injured, and then he went to these to this minimalist shoe, and that kind of changed. You know, he didn't get hurt, and he wasn't getting hurt as much or at all after the fact. He changed. I don't know if that's continued, but that was at least his premise.
Yeah, and respectfully, because I do think that is maybe one of the best books I've ever read of any kind. I recommend that book to everyone. It's so entertaining. But I've gone out and I've talked to the scientists, and I know some of them pretty well because I do some work for Harvard Medical School, and they're on the Harvard team, so I've had an opportunity to chat with them frequently. And even some of the really hardcore proponents who are scientists who are studying this in the lab say it really isn't for everyone. And they say, you know, there's a certain segment and a fairly large, you know, percentage of runners will probably do okay in them. But, you know, to recommend them across the board is kind of lunacy. And
right.
None of them, not even the scientists, say that. So, you know, I think Born to Run is great entertainment. The guy is a terrific writer. I follow everything he does. But I think, you know, you're going to judge for yourself. If you get in them and, you know, your pains are worse than before, I think that should be kind of a pretty good message that it's not for you.
Now, it sounds like also the same could be said for, it seems like the Wild Wild West when it comes to orthotics as well. Many different companies out there, many different types of inserts that people are wearing. And it seems like, you know, the movement of everybody going to these orthotics, we don't really know what they help. Coming from the people, the biomechanists that are actually making the orthotics, it sounds like what they're studying, they don't know if what they're correcting is really what they're there for.
Yeah, and I don't want to comment on that too much to say that I'm not a huge proponent of orthotics, and I think a lot of things can be solved with corrective exercises and wearing the right shoes and doing the right type of exercise for you. I know that I went to a podiatrist, and it was almost like a matter of course. I walked in, I was his patient, he wanted to give me orthotics.
Right.
And I was like, jumped off the table, no thanks, and I'm doing fine. I have no foot problems, so don't create any for me. But that's not fair to say that every podiatrist will be like that. And I think part of it is if you have the belief that something will help you, a lot of times, you know, that placebo effect is going to get you through, and I can't argue that. But, you know, I would like to see more evidence of what they're really doing or not doing.
Right. Well, great information, as always, Liz. Thank you so much for giving us. What's going on with you? What's happening now? I know you're writing like crazy all over the place. I see your name all over the place. You're writing for That's Fit on AOL's site as well.
Well, That's Fit closed down a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Huffington Post came in. I write a really great blog for Shape.com. I'm working very closely now with Harvard Medical School to produce layman's content from their professional content. And I work for ABCNews.com, which I really recommend. They do the best health news on the web. Really just terrific stuff, ABC News. And then, you know, whatever, I'm writing a book with Jessica Smith, who you may have had on the show, who I think is the next big thing in fitness. I think she's the next Jillian Michaels. And I took it because I just love her work and think she's amazing. So that will come out next year. And, I have a bunch of books in the works with a bunch of Harvard Medical School people. So I'm keeping busy. I'm on the road every day. I you know.
And you're running every day. You're running every day.
Yeah, I want to get the message out to people that, you know, be it weight loss or just how you feel or how you function in life, that exercise can really just change your whole perspective and just really make you feel better and just do so many great things. In fact, the book we wrote last year called The Winner's Brain, we spent a lot of time talking about how exercise and proper diet is so good for the brain that the things it does for your body are almost incidental compared to the things it can do for your brain. You know, literally delay, you know, just keep your memory sharp, you name it, it has benefits for how you think. And maybe that flatlining I do, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Right.
I think I should be studied, actually.
Yeah, I can't wait till that book with your husband, Bicker Your Way to Weight Loss, comes out. That's going to be good.
I think he's going to write that and not me. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Thanks for that.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on our show. Is there a website we can direct anybody to go to find out more information about you? Is there anything else we can to find out where you're going to be, what's happening, or what article, or just go to ABC News and look for your name?
You can do that. But before I tell you that, I just want to tell you how much I love you guys and what a big fan I am of your show. I think you are the best thing in fitness, and I tell everybody I can about how much I love your show.
So oh,
really
thank you very much.
That you're really talking to just a tremendous fan here. And then my website will be up in a couple weeks. It'll be lizknepp.com. And then what I'll do is I'll post, because I'm literally have an article daily somewhere, and I'll be posting my article links there and all my book links there. And, you know, as well as useful information. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at LizzieFit on Twitter. And if you tweet me a question, I always respond.
Not look at that, Lee. Always. Always responds.
Lee,
we're not.
I've been blocked.
I don't like the idea of somebody with Crisco typing, but
I go through keyboards every couple of days. That's
yeah, I don't think you're lying about that, actually.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for the kind words, and always a pleasure having you on the show. And we look forward to having you back on some more information. You're the go-to person. You're the person when we need the information, we have to go through you to make sure it's the truth.
So, well, I just appreciate the last time I came on, you guys gave me a really hard time. You were like all over me.
Well, listen.
So this was like an easy, I was kind of fearing.
It's because I didn't have my coffee.
Yeah. Well, don't ever, maybe just I'll send an extra cup over the next time.
Liz, now that I know that we might be related, I can't. I mean, you know, we might even be cousins. I don't know, but I have to check this out. I got to check it out with your husband. We have to see what the relation
is.
Yeah,
you guys have to get together with your family tree for sure.
That's right. Well, thanks again, and we look forward to talking in the near future. And lots of and the website that's going to be up in a couple weeks called Lizzie Knepp. I'm sorry,
LizKnepp.
LizKnepp.com.
You can follow me on Twitter at LizzieFit, which is LizzyFit.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Have a great day.
Right,
take
bye.
Care.
Bye.
That was Liz Knepperin. Make sure you check her out. And when you're online, check us out at Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessfatguy.com. Check out our book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. They are important.
No more fat kids.